Welcome back to the Guildhall Podcast. We are now in Season 3 of AI Adventurers. It has been 2 full years since you defeated Amalthos and returned peace to Dragonfire Vale. While Valerissa's brother, Auric, stayed in Dragonfire Vale to help with the rebuilding, Valerissa felt the call of her god and continued to journey through the realms searching for more injustice to fight with her companion, Elendil. Damaris finds himself tasked with a new quest by his goddess Eterna. In order to keep the demons in check, Tamaris is to journey back to the material plane and search for 7 demon seeds. They are mortals destined to become demon lords, and if they aren't stopped, they will each rule a plane in the abyss. Drop by our Discord. You can find the details at guildhallpodcast.com. We have started a play by Post Adventure with AIs. Anyone is welcome to join in. They just need to post in the play by post with AI thread. Thank you for listening and enjoy the adventure. Start of episode 40, The Weight of Silence.
These woods are cursed. I heard they caught a devilkin out here last week. Carved a saint star into his chest before sending him back to hell.
Then, praise the cudgel. One less sinner breathing.
Quiet. Tracks ahead.
The patrol halts. One kneels and inspects deep boot marks in the frost. Heavy, deliberate. They lead off the trail, into a shadowed ravine of broken stone and dry pines.
He's toying with us again.
You think it's him? The dwarf?
No one else leaves a trail that obvious and still vanishes.
A sudden gust rustles the trees. The sun crests the ridge, casting long shadows. A silence falls over the group, thick and unnatural. From above, the frost-laced pines seem to bow inward, as if bearing witness. Then a thud. One of the zealots is gone. Dragged upward into the branches with a muffled cry.
Ambush.
Steel is drawn. They form a defensive ring, blades shaking slightly in gloved hands.
Come out, coward.
A thrown axe splits the speaker's helm with surgical precision. He crumples instantly. Another is pulled backward into the shadows with a snap of bone. A muffled scream. Silence. Snow kicks up as a massive form barrels through the brush. Gromgar Shifestone, cloaked in fur and frost. Eyes like embers beneath his helm. He doesn't shout. He doesn't rage. He simply breaks them. The remaining zealots fall, one after another, beneath the weight of Forge's pride and the vengeance behind it. Only one is left, bloodied and scrambling back through the snow, gasping prayers as he retreats.
Tell your Justicar. I'm not done yet.
Mid-morning. A ring of mushrooms glows faintly in the snow outside a forgotten stone way shrine. Wind whispers through dead pines. The remnants of divine conflict hang thick in the air. Scorched earth, broken prayer beads, the faint scent of myrrh. The wind shifts. A shimmer moves through the air like heat off stone. In the clearing outside Gromgar's latest ambush site, a soft crack of breaking ice gives way to a sudden bloom of emerald light. A circle of toadstools blossoms from the frost, ringed in subtle springtime hues. With a swirl of moss-laced wind and pollen, Zephyr Windsong and Elric Swiftfoot arrive.
Well, either we found your dwarf, or something very angry borrowed his axe.
Hard to tell. Blood spatter's still warm.
They step past the shredded bodies and discarded cudgels, their boots silent on the snow. Zephyr kneels near a St. Cuthbert pendant, melted and half-buried in the mud.
He warned them, and they came anyway.
Lila said he was relentless. She didn't say he was bleeding fury, wrapped in steel.
A faint rustle draws their eyes, Gromgar watching from the ridge above, his silhouette a living statue of frost and wrath.
You are late.
Zephyr's emerald eyes scan the carnage, taking in the details with a practiced gaze. She stands, brushing snow from her knees, and looks up at Gromgar with a mix of respect and caution. Late. I'd say we're right on time. We were following the trail of destruction you left. Quite the breadcrumb trail, by the way. Her voice is steady. But there's a hint of admiration beneath the surface. You've been busy, my friend.
Elric rises, his gaze sweeping over the battlefield with a critical eye. He notes the strategic placement of bodies, the lack of defensive wounds on Gromgar's person, and the sheer force behind each strike. Impressive work, he says, his tone measured. But this isn't the way. The path you've chosen. It only leads to more bloodshed.
Gromgar steps forward, his boots crunching on the snow. The frost melts away from his form as he moves, revealing the heavy layers of fur and leather that protect him from the cold. His voice is a low rumble, like the distant sound of thunder. The way? There's no way left. Uh-oh. The path has been chosen. The only question that remains is whether we'll stand and fight or lay down and die. He stops in front of Zephyr and Elric, his eyes burning with a fierce determination.
Snow crunches beneath Gromgar's boots as he walks past the bodies, his shadow cutting across shattered holy symbols and fallen zealots. Zephyr and Elric wait, quiet now, the light of the Feywild still faint on their cloaks.
Gromgar, who are they? These men, uniformed, coordinated, sanctified. They weren't just bandits.
That symbol. Starburst cudgel. I've seen it in villages, St. Cuthbert, right? Purity. Order dot sty. Judgment.
They call themselves Zealots. Led by a man named Aldrin Maris, the High Justicar. He says, Elder Hearth is already lost. No survivors. No redemption. Just ash and worms. We tried to get through. Peacefully. They were waiting. Called us heretics. Devil spawn. High witches. Said the gods had turned away, and so would they.
What happened?
They struck first. Banished Mistweaver. Torms. Took Elendil down with a cursed bolt. He couldn't even speak. Tamaris, faced Aldrin himself, got hit with some kind of divine hammer spell. Dropped. Oh. Valarissa tried to hold the line, bought us seconds.
And you ran?
No. I lived. So I could come back.
The words land with weight, like stone striking stone. Zephyr closes her eyes briefly, exhaling slow.
Then we'll get them out. Elendil, Tamaris, Valarissa, all of them.
A rescue, not a war.
It's already a war. We're just late to it.
The wind returns, thin, sharp, and cold. In the distance, a horn sounds. Not a patrol yet. But soon, at a subterranean sanctum beneath a crumbling chapel near Elder Hearth. The walls are stone, bare and damp, lit only by narrow slits of daylight and the flicker of blessed candles. The air smells of oil, iron, and incense that cannot mask the blood beneath. Tamaris kneels, shackled at the wrists and shoulders, his infernal markings dulled, but still faintly aglow beneath his skin. His weapons and armor are gone. He is surrounded by three silent zealots in ceremonial armor. None speak, none move. At the far end of the room, a table of iron-bound wood holds his vorpal blade. It rests beneath a glass dome, etched with divine scripture. The door opens. High Justicar Aldrin Maris enters. No armor. No cudgel. Just the white and gold robes of St. Cuthbert's highest servant, pristine despite the ash still clinging to his boots. He steps forward. Every movement is precise. Controlled.
You wear her brand. The Queen of the Nine Hells. You speak her name like a prayer. And yet you came to Elder Hearth with light at your back. He studies Tamaris like one might inspect a relic or a disease. You defy category. That makes you dangerous. He crouches, eye level. Tell me, Devilborn, not who you are. Not what you are. A long pause. Tell me why.
Tamaris lifts his head to respond. Tamaris meets Aldrin's gaze, his eyes burning with a fierce determination. I am not here to spread chaos or to serve the Nine Hells. I am here to protect the innocent, those who cannot protect themselves. The corruption that has taken root in Elder Hearth threatens not just the city, but all of the land surrounding it. I cannot stand by and do nothing.
Innocence? A hollow laugh, soft and bitter. You invoke righteousness while wearing the chains of damnation. Do you believe the fire in your blood burns cleaner than the rot in theirs? He stands, pacing slowly around Tamaris like a surgeon preparing an incision, I saw what you brought to that field. Fey trickery. Draconic wrath. Forbidden sorcery. You call it protection. I call it infection. He leans in close again, voice a whisper with a blade beneath it. If Eterna truly sought justice, why send you? Why not cleanse the corruption herself? Why not call the sun instead of the smoke? He turns, arms behind his back, voice rising, not in anger, but certainty. Tell me, Tamaros Nebulan, when the worms rise, and the rot reaches the roots of your friends, what will your blade protect then? He turns, eyes sharp with judgment. What will you burn to save them? He waits, listening, measuring. The room is silent again, save for the quiet drip of melted wax and the breath between questions.
Tamaris's eyes narrow as he listens to Aldrin's words, a sense of frustration and determination growing within him. Eterna does not send me to cleanse corruption. She sends me to challenge it, to stand against the darkness and bring balance to the land. The corruption in Elder Hearth is not a simple matter of good and evil, but a complex web of forces that have grown unchecked for too long. By challenging the Demon Seed in Chios, I aim to break the cycle and restore balance to this land.
So that's what you tell yourself. That you're a hand of balance, not a fist of the damned. He straightens slowly, his gaze flicking to the blade under glass. But even liars choose strange weapons. He lifts the dome from the pedestal. Slowly, reverently, the vorpal blade gleams in the dim light, its edge immaculate, untouched by time. He traces a finger near the hilt, not touching, recognizing. The king's fang. He stares at Tamaris, voice tightening with disbelief. This sword, this was his. The boy who died before he could raise it. The last sovereign of Rodania. Buried in the flood that claimed the capital, or so we believed. He steps forward, lifting the blade slightly. Its weight is wrong in his hand, not heavy, but alien. This was not meant to draw blood in the hands of devils. This was the sword of a child king, meant to be the shield of a realm that never rose again. He lowers the blade, his voice trembling, with fury, not sorrow. How did you come by it?
The candlelight bends strangely around the weapon. The room, for a breath, seems to listen.
Answer carefully, Tamaros Nebulan. For you carry more than Hell's Mark. You carry a stolen heirloom of Rodania itself.
Tamaris's gaze never wavers from Aldrin's as the High Justicator handles his vorpal blade. That sword was not stolen, but given as a gift, he says firmly. Its former owner, a dear friend, recognized its true potential in my hands. And with it, I have fought against the very corruption that now plagues Elder Hearth. He pauses, letting his words sink in. But, tell me, High Justicator, what good is a sword if it lies unused in a vault?
A gift? A scoff, sharp, brittle. You speak as though relics of the crown are baubles to be passed between friends over wine and firelight. He steps forward again, closer this time, the tip of the vorpal blade angled slightly toward the floor, but pointed nonetheless. That sword was meant to defend a nation, not serve the whims of a devil's chosen. Its rightful place is in a tomb, or a throne room, not buried in demon spawn flesh. He turns slightly, the blade catching firelight, gleaming like memory. You call it wasted in a vault. I call it defiled in your hand. Tell me something then. If this friend of yours gave you the king's fang, was he a crown blood? Or another lost soul who mistook ambition for destiny? He waits, not just for an answer, but for a confession.
Tamaris's expression remains calm, but a hint of sadness creeps into his eyes as he listens to Aldrin's words. My friend was no crown blood, but he possessed a wisdom beyond his years, he says softly. He saw potential in me, potential that others overlooked. He believed that the sword was not meant for a single individual, but for those who would rise to defend the realm in its time of need. Tamaris pauses, choosing his next words carefully. And I believe that time is now.
Belief is not legacy, and potential is not permission. He steps back from the blade, his shadow falling long across the stone floor. Your words will be recorded, not as justification, but as testimony. He gestures to one of the silent zealots. The man steps forward, producing a thin strip of blessed parchment and a seal of St. Cuthbert, returning him to the lower cell. Bind the blade. The tribunal will convene before dusk. He pauses at the doorway, looking back one final time. You were given a weapon meant for kings, but you chose to use it like a criminal.
He exits into the silence of the hall. The zealots move to escort Tamaris out. The candlelight gutters. The room feels colder now, not from the stone, but from the weight of what is to come. In a subterranean prison beneath a ruined watchtower, the air is cold and metallic, filled with the scent of old blood and damp stone. Iron bars cast jagged shadows across frost-laced floors. Thin slits in the ceiling allow faint shafts of daylight to filter down, barely enough to see by. Valerissa sits in a narrow cell, her armor stripped, but her presence undiminished. Across the corridor, separated by just a few paces and a set of rusted bars, lies another cell. Inside it, Elendil Nightfall, unconscious, but beginning to stir. No guards are posted. Not visibly. But something watches. A low hum, almost imperceptible, comes from the iron in the walls, a divine ward pulsing faintly with each breath Valerissa draws. Somewhere above, a bell chimes once. A ritual hour. A sentence passed. The quiet in the prison deepens, broken only by breath, and the slow scrape of Elendil's hand shifting against stone. From the darkness, voices rise.
Valerissa's emerald eyes snap open, her gaze immediately drawn to the movement in the cell across from her. She rises to her feet, her heart racing with concern. Elendil, she calls out softly, her voice echoing through the cold and empty prison. Can you hear me? She presses her hands against the rusted bars, her voice filled with urgency and worry. You need to wake up.
Elendil's eyes flutter open, his movement slow and groggy. He tries to sit up, wincing at the sudden movement. Valerissa? He manages, his voice hoarse from disuse. He looks around the cell, taking in his surroundings with a mix of confusion and fear. Where are we? What happened? He reaches up, gently touching the bandage on his head, his expression clouding with memories of the battle.
Valerissa's expression softens with relief as Elendil starts to wake. We're in a prison beneath a ruined watchtower, she explains, keeping her voice low. The zealots captured us after the battle. You were injured, and they've been keeping you unconscious. She pauses, listening intently for any signs of approaching guards before continuing. Gromgar are still out there and the zealots took Tamaris a few hours ago. I don't know what's happened to them. We need to find a way to escape and reunite with the group.
As Valerissa speaks, Elendil's eyes adjust to the gloom. The bandages are tight, but the pounding in his skull has lessened. He shifts, and something gives. The chain on his left wrist creaks, then sags. The bracket has cracked. There's no lock. Just pressure.
Elendil's eyes widen as he realizes the weakness in his restraints. He looks up at Valerissa, a glimmer of hope in his gaze. Valerissa, I think I can break free, he whispers, his voice still strained but filled with determination. If I can get out, maybe we can find a way to escape together and rescue Tamaris. He takes a deep breath, steeling himself for the effort ahead.
The cracking bracket holds. Elendil steadies his breath, the chain now sagging half an inch further. He dares not move again, not yet. Then, footsteps. Heavy, disciplined. Boots echo off the stone as two zealots descend the stairwell, robes trimmed in gray and gold. One carries a chain collar, the other a thick iron ring of keys. They stop at Valerissa's cell.
On your feet. The Justicar requests your presence.
The cell door creaks open. As they step inside to bind her wrists, Valerissa surges forward, not in defiance, but with purpose. She drops to one knee beside Elendil's bars, just for a heartbeat. Her hand slips through. Her palm finds his shoulder. A surge of golden warmth radiates from her hand, a flicker of divine power, focused, precise. The glow lasts only a second, but Elendil feels the fog in his mind begin to lift. His breath steadies. His limbs remember strength. Lay on hands. Not for herself, but for him. The zealots grab her roughly, yanking her back.
Touch him again, and you'll lose the hand.
Elendil is left alone, cuffed but not broken. The cracked bracket still groans faintly behind him. And now, the warmth remains. In the same subterranean chamber where Tamaris was questioned, cold stone, flickering candles, the vorpal blade now absent. Scripture-etched walls hum faintly with warding magic. A single iron chair faces the center. Valerissa is escorted into the chamber, her wrists bound, her spear long since taken, but her spine unbowed. The zealots say nothing as they position her before the chair and step away, leaving only silence and firelight. The door clicks shut behind her. A moment passes. Then the far archway opens. High Justicar Aldrin Maris enters, this time garbed in full ceremonial white and gold. No armor. No weapon. Only a sealed tome in his hands and judgment in his eyes.
Valerissa Flamefree, scion of a fallen realm, wielder of divine fire. He does not sit. He stands across from her, studying her like a battlefield. You brought Dragonflame into a land still healing from draconic war. You sided with devils and spirits of shadow. You defied divine order to breach a city cursed by the gods themselves. He places the book on a stone lectern, opens it, doesn't look down. I will not ask if you are guilty. He lifts his gaze. I will ask if you understand why that matters. He waits.
Valerissa meets Aldrin's gaze unflinchingly, her emerald eyes burning with a fierce determination. I understand that you believe Elderhearth is beyond redemption, she says, her voice steady and clear. And I understand that you see my actions as defying your divine order. But I also understand that the gods are not always just, and that sometimes their will must be challenged, questioned to bring about true justice. She pauses, letting her words sink in before continuing.
You would question the gods? He circles slowly, stopping behind her. Then which gods guide your hand? Not St. Cuthbert. Not any who sit in the divine halls of order. He leans forward slightly, voice near her ear, not cruel, but contemptuous in its precision. Tal Drakken, a house idol, a bloodline totem, not a god. Not here. He straightens. I do not cast judgment on your ancestors. I cast it on your actions. He steps around in front again, eyes narrowing. You brought war into a quarantined land. You defied celestial quarantine. You claimed justice by fire. This realm does not burn for your family's ghosts. He lifts the tome once more. Kneel. Recant. Or learn what becomes of false flame. He holds the book open, its text glowing faintly with divine invocation.
Valerissa's expression remains calm, but a hint of frustration creeps into her voice as she responds to Aldrin. My gods, my family's gods, are the ones who guide me through the flames and into the light of justice. Tal Drakken is a god of justice, of protection, and of balance. And it is Tal Drakken who has given me the strength to stand against the corruption and chaos that threatens Elderhearth. She pauses, her voice filled with conviction. I will not kneel, High Justicator. I will not recant my beliefs.
Then you will break. He doesn't shout. He doesn't gloat. He simply closes the tome with a deliberate snap, as if sealing a verdict. There is no justice in obstinance. Only pride, and pride burns easiest. He turns to the zealots at the door. Return her to her cell. Ensure the glyphs are doubled. He casts one final glance at Valerissa. Not hateful, not angry. Merely resigned. You will not be the first dragon I have watched fall silent. The door opens. Cold air rushes in. The torchlight dims.
They seize her by the arms, not cruelly, but with mechanical precision. As she's led from the chamber, her boots scrape against the stone, one defiant step after another. And above, somewhere beyond reach, the bells prepare to toll again.
To be continued.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the adventure. Stay tuned for more episodes. You can watch us play on twitch.tv at the Guildhall Podcast channel. If you want to join a game or just say hi, stop by our Discord. Details are at the-guildhall.net. The music in this episode was created by Philip E. Ray and used under Creative Commons. Thank you, and I hope to see you next time.